to take a ride. Grab your coffee and strap yourself in, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America, Babylon, and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite, you are listening to Omega Man Radio Network with Shannon Davis.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We're going to get started. Hope you enjoyed the program the first hour, Speak My Word. And I'm excited to be back here tonight with Dr. Del Sides here on Monday, April 22nd, 2024. How you doing, my friend, since the last time?
Oh, Shannon, I'm doing fantastic. I'm enjoying Jesus and working hard and enjoying doing it. And I'm very, very blessed. I'm very blessed. I got some good Bible to share tonight. I think it's going to really, really help people see some things a little more clearly. So I'm extremely blessed tonight, sir. Very fantastic. Thankful to be hanging out with you tonight and all likewise, the Omega Man family.
Great to be back with you. My friend, open us up in prayer, and the mic is yours. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shannon. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have tonight of coming before you, and let us never be negligent to thank you for the good things that you give us, not only our daily bread, but also our daily manna that comes from your lips that inspires us, that leads us, and directs us. Tonight, Father, we are especially in prayer for the nation of Israel and for the issues that's going on there. And Father, we know at least, we do know at least in part, and we prophesy at least in part, and we know in part that you have a nation that you've chosen to bring salvation to the world, and it is not the United States, it's Israel. And Lord, they're under siege, and we ask you tonight to bury your arm and send your angels there to protect them and guard them, Lord. That land is legally and rightfully belongs to them. And we thank you, Lord, that you said in your word that Michael would show up and would protect them. And we're looking forward to seeing that big guy make his advent down here and take care of Israel. We pray tonight also, Father, for the United States of America. We know, Lord, that this has been a vehicle that you have brought a lot of truth to a lot of people. And as we see it decaying and crumbling, we are thankful for what we've been able to do for as long as we've been able to do it. And commit ourselves to do even more. If it's a different way, then we'll do that also. But we thank you tonight for the access and privilege of broadcasting around the world. Thank you for Shannon and his family, his beautiful wife and three children. And thank you, Lord, for his dedication and him being one of the most prolific radio talk show hosts, Christian talk show hosts in the world. And we know that and we love him. We thank you for all the Omega Man family that's listening tonight. Thank you, Lord, that Shannon brings them good Bible and good food to eat, and that's why they keep coming back to the table. And we bless him and his family, his ministry, his health, his strength, his vision, and we thank you for continuing to prosper this program that feeds so many people. In the name of Yeshua ben Yahweh, the captain of the Lord's host, amen.
Powerful amen. Prayer, my brother. Thank you for standing up for Israel, and praise the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be here tonight. Folks, Dr. Del Sides, LMCI.org. Take it away, my friend. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shannon. I always look forward to this. I really do. And I'm in the middle of doing a Christological astronomy class, which is a three-month college-level class where I teach people the intricacies of the celestial word and how to read it, at least in part. And I'm so thankful to have this opportunity to speak the word of God and it be heralded around the world. And we're just so thankful, Shannon, and you allow me, or I am very thankful to you allow me to deliver my goods over your network or on your ship, and I'm very thankful for you, brother. And your contribution you've made to the church. You know, I just talking here for a minute. I have a country song was done by Randy Travis that has really impacted me, and it has so even more so the past couple of weeks. And the name of the song is a problem. Some of you I know have heard it. Is Three Wooden Crosses. And the saga of the story and the chorus line in it is, it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you, it's what you leave behind you when you go. And the story is, it goes, a farmer, a teacher, a hooker, and a preacher on a midnight bus bound for Mexico. One was headed for a vacation, one for higher education, and two of them were searching for lost souls. So the hooker and the preacher were hunting for lost souls. Anyway, it says that the driver never saw the stop sign, and an 18-wheeler can't stop on a dime. There's three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. It's not what we take when we leave this world behind us. It's what we leave behind us when we go. And the song continues that the farmer left a harvest, a home and 80 acres, and a young son whose love for growing things in his heart. And the teacher left her wisdom in the hearts of all the children, hoping to give them a better start. And the preacher whispered, "Can you see the promised land?" as he put the bloodstained Bible in my mother's hand, or in the hooker's hand, he said. Then it goes through the chorus again. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you, but what you leave behind you when you go. And it says that's a story that the preacher preached last Sunday. And as he held the bloodstained Bible up for all of us to see, God bless the farmer, the teacher, and the preacher who gave the bloodstained Bible to my mother, who read it to me. So then it concludes with the chorus, "It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you, it's what you leave behind you when you go." And I've been contemplating on, Shannon, what the Lord has left, allowed us to leave behind us. And it's amazing. It's amazing. You don't do this program because you get paid. You do this program because you love Jesus Christ. And people come on this program for the same reason. And people listen to the program for the same reason. But, brother, do you have any idea what you're leaving behind you? The anointing, the freshness of the presence of God that lingers whenever your name is spoken. It's true. It's true. So, golly, and me too. I mean, I've looked at all the books I've written. And the Lord has allowed me to, you know, make my living of the gospel, so I'm not out swatting nails or digging ditches daily. I'm at home doing the things of God, writing, meditating, and sharing the things He's given me. Man, if you think we're blessed now, what do you think is going to be ours when we get to eternity?
Praise the Lord.
Wow. Wow. Wow, don't we just praise Him tonight? And everybody out there listening, don't you just haul off and praise the Lord for what He's allowed you to do and to leave the impact in people's lives? Mm. Anyway, it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That's what I wanted to say about that. leads me sort of into the subject I wanted to talk about tonight. And this is something that I was inspired by a daily devotional from Charles Spurgeon. And it was the devotional for March 17th. And the name of the devotional is Remember the Poor. And so what I want to talk about tonight is the poor. And I want to talk about why they're poor people and why God made poor people. And the Bible says He did. But I also want to talk about The reasons that they're poor people. And when I get into the reasons that God made poor people, I think you're going to be able to see a lot of truth in a very simple way. So I want to start out in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 10. You can go there if you want to. I don't think it's really necessary, but this is when Paul and Barnabas had come to from Jerusalem, and they came to Galatia, and they found the apostles or the leaders up there. They were afraid of the Jews that came from James, nonetheless, and they give them the right hand of Christian fellowship, go minister to the Gentiles and everything. But in verse 10, it said they desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. Remember the poor. And that's a tremendous exhortation. And the two reasons that Spurgeon gave why God left poor people, or they're poor people on the earth, and he makes the argument that he could send an angel with 10 shekels of gold for everybody that he would. So there has to be a reason why that he has left people with less than enough, even physically. I have a spiritual son who's in the United States right now. He's getting ready to go back to Nigeria. And we gave him some money to buy some food for his church in Nigeria through one of our benefactors in our ministry. And he told me that when he got the money, it was not automatic that he could go find food. He said he had to scrounge and scrape to find the food to buy in Nigeria. And he said in two different homes when he walked in the door, two different homes of people in his church, the church member were on their knees praying for food to feed their children. And, you know, it's a pretty bold statement when you start making that, you know, that God made poor people. Now, I know that there's people that's poor that God didn't do it to them. They're poor because they won't work, all right? But I have lived in, I mean, ministered in, and spent lots of time in India and other foreign countries. And what we would think in America as what would be the Great Tribulation, these guys have been living in it their whole lives. I think about some of the tribal people in Africa. They've lived in mortal fear of being kidnapped and attacked and captured by the Muslim villages around them, not to mention living in starvation conditions. And, wow. And I'm not saying this in light of condemning anyone for being affluent and having your necessary needs met, because these are promises that God has given us. But yet, I want to talk to you, and I'm in it for about this, and I want to go to James chapter 2 and read this verse of Scripture. I needed to read this, and I needed to examine it closely, because whenever I heard Charles Spurgeon say that God made poor people, I'm going, nah, I don't believe that. You know, I don't think that he did that. I think what he did was that he gave free will, and I don't know what I thought. But when I read this verse of Scripture in Galatians chapter 2 in verse 10, it says I need to go to James 2:5. 2:5, listen, my beloved brethren. So who's he talking to? Born again brethren. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him. Whew. It really says that. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith? He chose the poor of this world, and he chose them to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him. It makes you wonder where the true value is, doesn't it? And the monetary resources that are at our disposal, or in the true spiritual riches that we have of knowing of the kingdom. Again, I've had the privilege of doing this at the church's expense, of traveling around the world and ministering with people. And I remember clearly having lunch with a pastor in India who I know that he had to save for a long time to feed me the lunch he fed me. And, I mean, I was so honored that he would do that. But to see the faith in his wife and his children, in his family, in the thankfulness in him was far, far better than any meal I've ever had. But it says that God chose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him. And he apparently made the poor so that they will trust him, love him, lean on him, need him, cry out to him. And he hears their prayers. That's interesting. When I went through and was reading the Bible for usages of the word poor, I found in the King James Version of the Bible 197 usages of the word poor. And the vast majority of them is dealing with God's provision for the pure, for the poor. And he is dynamically concerned about them. And this brings up the other reason that Charles Spurgeon said that God made poor people. Now, and I've got the first one. I think I've accepted that he made the people, the poor in this world, needy in faith and needy so they consult him and need him. And I think I've lived long enough and garnered that kind of understanding about our Father Yahweh that I think I see that. I get it. Now, there's another reason, and this is where we are really get in. I want to read some good Bible verses with you tonight and share something with you. The other reason that Spurgeon said that God gave the poor was and is to inspire the wealthy to be generous. To inspire the well-off to be givers. To inspire the wealthy to be generous. You know, there's great verses, scripture, all over the Bible about how God rises kings and removes kings and does these things according to his own will, according to his own choosing. I mean, why did he make one person one way and another person? Why was Solomon king, for example? And he made poor people to inspire those that are well off to be generous. And boy, let me tell you something. Now I know why Jesus said of the most difficult things it is to get into the kingdom is being a rich man. Why? Because he turns a deaf ear to the poor. And he thinks that he, by his own acumen, has lifted him up lifted himself up by his own bootstraps, and has what he has because he is so good. Huh. Well, I remember, not that I've ever had a lot, but I definitely remember the day after mine and Vicky's house burned. And we weren't completely destitute. We had some money stashed away in the bank, but, you know, we lost everything we had, every physical item that we had. And you know what? Of all of the lessons that I learned from the house fire, what I learned was the goodness of God that works in people's hearts. And I will ever live to retain that memory of how good people were to us during that time. And you know, there's this thing called empathy. Like, you know, like you put yourself in the other person's shoes, and how do they feel about this, and how would I feel about that? And I remember the date several days after the fire, and I was moping around. I was in shock, probably. And finally, the Lord asked me, he said, well, you've talked to everybody else about the fire, but me. And I went, oh my, well. And I said, well, I'm sorry, Lord, what do you have to say about it? And he said, well, I got what I wanted out of the fire. And he sort of chuckled because he got Vicky and me, and I guess the dog. You know, but he said, and I'm sorry for the things that you lost. And he's really said that. And I could tell by the tenor in his voice that he meant that he had sorrow for the things, because I lost some things I liked, you know, so did my wife. All of her artwork and everything. I'm sorry for the things that you lost, he said, but when I look at what you've got up here, I can't be sad too long. But I never forget the feeling of being destitute. And I walked in the morning after the fire. I made my way Goodwill. And in Goodwill, one of our guys in our fellowship gave me $200 in cash. I couldn't get any money out of the bank or anything. And I went to Goodwill, and there were these guys there that they looked like they were homeless. And so I'm standing in the back trying to find an old pair of blue jeans and some work boots that I could go over and sort through the ashes and find if there was anything left. And one of the guys said to me, he said, what are you doing up here today? And I said, well, buddy, my house burned to the ground last night, and I'm up here buying a pair of boots and some old clothes to go over and go through the ashes and see if there's anything left. And he looked at me like, oh, my God. And so when I got up to the front of the cash register to pay for the blue jeans and the boots, this homeless man came up to me and put his arm around me and gave me a $10 bill. And I'll never forget it if I live to be 150. And I still have it. I kept it. It was too precious, like the water that David got from the well at Jerusalem. He poured it out as a drink offering. I said, I just can never spend this. So I got it tacked up. I don't know, it may have been from an angel, but I know one thing. I felt the love of God in that man whenever he gave me that $10. And you know, I've always loved generous people. But this is what I want to talk to you about next is that man that saw me that day in Goodwill. He had goodwill, and he desired, and he was passionate and compassionate. And I don't know how much money he had. He could have been a undercover millionaire, you know, but I know he was a needy man, like I was a needy man, but he had compassion. And he gave me that $10 bill. It riveted my heart to God's goodness. And I want to talk to you about a word tonight that has been one of my favorite words to talk about in all the Bible, in all my English vernacular, and that is the word generous. Generous. And I was thinking about it one day and what it meant, and I looked at the root word, and the root word of it is gene. Well, wow. So I got out my funkin' Wagner, looked up what Noah Webster said about it, and sure enough, you know, it's got that root word behind it, a gene. And what it literally means, generous, means of noble birth. So if you look back in years of antiquity, you see that lords over lands, they were the noble birth. They were the ones of the aristocracy. They inherited all the land, and they had, I would say, a moral, a social, and I'd like to add a spiritual obligation to be good to those people that lived on their lands and farmed the lands and shared of the lands. And again, I go through this thing, as you read in the Old Testament, the predominant usages of the word poor is how God made provisions for them. Like, you know, you don't glean, you don't harvest the corners of the field. You leave the corners for the widows, right, and the destitute, and they're in the world. And God provides for them. And how does he provide for them? He's not in the business of making buckets of money. He works within the hearts of his people. Boy, howdy. Man, oh man. I bet I know where there's some rich people in this world that's going to burn in the flames of hell for shutting up their bowels of compassion toward those that have need, and they have the means whereby to help them. Wow, and you, as you go through and read these verses of scripture about the poor, and you read them in the Old Testament, woe be to he that discriminates against the poor, that charges them interest. When the money, I was reading that verse of scripture today, about if you loan money to a poor man, you shall not charge him interest. So let me get back to this thing about generosity. And I'm going to do something tonight I don't normally do. I'm going to read to you from the NIV, and I think the NIV is the nearly inspired version. But it does do a good translation of the word generous and generosity. So I want to read some verses to you tonight that's got this word in it, and I'm going to allow the word of God to speak, for God to speak for himself as I read the word. So this is from Deuteronomy 15:10. Now, again, let me tell you what I'm talking about. I got inspired by a devotion from Charles Spurgeon, March 17th of this year, and the title verse is Remember the Poor from Galatians 2:10. And his precepts were that God has poor people in the world still because he wants them to need him and come to him. And he wants them to be rich in faith and in the inheritance of the kingdoms to come. So I guess we're going to figure out that there should be, percentage-wise, a whole lot more poor people that were poor in this world in this world, then there will be rich people in glory if it's hard for a rich man to get into the kingdom. Again, so I bring up the postulate, is it better to be poor in this world or rich in this world? If you're poor in this world and you're rich in faith, my assertion is that you're richer by being poor. And remember how it says that Jesus, though he was wealthy, he became poor for our sake in 2 Corinthians, that we might be rich in all things. So anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 10. So I'm just going to read these verses to you, and here we go. Give generously to him, and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. Wow. Good verse. Here's the next one. 1 Chronicles 29:13-14. Now, O God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Wow. I mean, what do we have? Only what he's given us. I mean, I feel this way whenever I open the Bible. If I don't have the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I don't have anything to give people. Huh. But listen, everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Wow. 2 Chronicles 31:5. As soon as the order went out, the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, oil, and honey, and all that the fields produced. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything. How cool is that? Psalm 37:25-26. Maybe you're familiar with the first verse, and the second one is good too. I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Verse 26, they are always generous and lend freely, their children will be blessed. Wow. Man. What more could you ask for, Shannon, than for your children to be blessed? And you know, it just is a covenant thing with God. I have four daughters, and they're all blessed, and they're all givers. Not a one of them are stingy. They'd love to give. I guess they got it from their mother, you know. And of course, she's listening to me. She said maybe a little bit from her dad, but got a whole lot of it from the father, right? Listen to this Psalms 112:5. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Verse 21, the wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. A couple of Proverbs here, Proverbs 11:25. A generous man will prosper, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. You know, I have a lady that's in our fellowship that she's a giving hawk. She spies and studies ways to bless people. And she's been that way ever since I met her 20 years ago or so ago. And wouldn't you know that because she had that kind of generosity in her heart, man, the Lord loaded her up, and now she really is a weapon of grace and generosity in the kingdom. But that's what it's the promise. That's the promise. Proverbs 22:9, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Acts 10:2, he and all his family were devout and God-fearing, he gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Romans 12:8. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's in leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's in showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. You know, I have a booklet that I've done on the ministry of liberality. And I don't think there is any real debate but what the Lord God has given some people the ability to make money. And it just puts them in the flow. I recently heard a guy talking about dimensional thinking. And he said the people that are affluent in this world, it's not that they operate in a different dimension than other people, but their level of expectation is so much higher that it gives them a better concept of dimensions than those people that have the negative, pessimistic outlook. But that being said, Cornelius, the man that was God-fearing, he's the one that the Lord sent Peter to bring the Holy Spirit to him. Okay. And it's like I said, Romans 12:8. If it's in leadership, let him govern diligently and showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully.
Brother Dell, you went mute. Can you still hear me? Folks, stand by.
Okay, hold it, Shannon. I think I just hit my mute button.
There you go.
Accidentally.
You're back.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
can you
sir.
Hear me now?
Yes,
okay.
Sir. Keep going.
I think I just leaned on it. Okay, thank you. So, 2 Corinthians 9:5. So, I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Verse 6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You know, just thinking about this, I have another guy that's in our home fellowship, and he can't come to see me without bringing me something. He loves to cook. So he'll cook something for me and say, hey, I'm going to bring you some ribs over. I'm going to bring you this something over. Yeah, you want this? You want? I always want it. He's a great cook. But, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, he'd bring me over a little bottle of hot pepper sauce that he picked up at Walmart. I just thought about you when I saw this. And it just blesses me when he does that because, obviously, he was thinking about me. And it's not a matter of what it is. Or how much it is. Isn't that right, though? But it's the thoughtfulness. And I think that's how the Lord looks on our hearts. So it's not, you know, according to that which you have to give, but it's according to the heart with which you give it. Huh. And then 2 Corinthians 9:11, you will be made rich in every way so that you could be generous on every occasion. And through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. My buddy was telling me in Nigeria when he walked in with the food and gave it to the people in his church and the two women that were actually kneeling and praying when he walked in the door. He said you couldn't believe the thankfulness that poured forth from their mouths and their hearts when they got that food. God bless them. Anyhow, one more here in 1 Timothy 6:18. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. So I think that what happened was that when Jesus came and gave the sacrifice of his life, of course, he did it with a good attitude. and with a generous spirit as well. But because of that, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I believe that we then became of noble birth. We were born from above. In 1 John, even says, not by the will of man, but by the will of God, we were born from above. That he foreordained us, predestinated us to be born from above. And we were born into nobility. And I know that in the Bible, when it's talking about 2 Corinthians 9, when it's talking about, you know, give. And it's not according, if you don't have it, you can't give it. I get it. I get that. If you don't have something, you can't give it. But guess what? You can always give of yourself. You can always give of yourself, and you can always give of the love of God and of kindness and of mercy and of compassion and of understanding and being generous to speak God's word as it flows forth from your lips. But we weren't born with a rich mentality or born in a family of affluence, or maybe we were born in a poverty-stricken family. And what I'm talking about is not according to what you don't have, but according to what you do have. But the idea of generosity is not according to how much you have. It's according to the attitude that you carry, that you are of noble birth. I mean, I don't believe that God wants us to be condescending to the world, that we think that we're better than them. But, however, we do know that we have a better and a more enduring inheritance, don't we? We know that. And the Bible says a better and more enduring inheritance. So I have compassion and mercy on those that don't know him, but on the other, but I'm just trying to say the idea of being generous comes from knowing that you are of noble birth. I think my mom and my dad did a sufficient job of training me that I was no better than anybody else. You're no better than anybody else. I was not raised with discrimination. I wasn't raised. No, I wasn't. Was saying, no. Everything. And he said, my dad would say, brother, son, you are better than nobody else, but I'll be doggone if anybody's any better than you. And that's the way he raised us to be. And so, but to be good and to be generous. And I think I've said what I wanted to say tonight, Shannon, on this subject, that a generous spirit is one of noble birth. And these are things that we can learn and be conditioned within ourselves, especially since we have the sovereign Prince of Peace and the most generous man who, though he was rich, became poor that we might become rich in his name. We have him living in us. You know, I just have to confess, I really got born again when I got born again. I mean, I really did. I'm not the same guy I was before I got saved. I think that's the way it's supposed to be, isn't it? And yet, as I speak this, I'm heading on my 75th lap around the sun. I've recently gotten into a situation with a young minister who was actually quite foolish in decisions that he made, but I just remember that I've got a lot more experience than this kid. You know, I just need to be merciful to him. And I actually think that when I heard myself respond that way, it actually sounded like Jesus. I went, wow, maybe he has beat something into my head through all these years. But it's the whole born again experience. It's the whole experience of meeting and knowing and learning how the master works. I remember my brother Randy, God bless him, he's with Jesus now. But my brother Randy said, you always talk about hearing from God. I never hear from God. How do you hear from God? I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you the quick, easy Cliff Notes version, okay? Ask him what he wants you to give and ask him who he wants you to give it to. It changed his life. It turned him into a generous person. He said, I'm hearing from God. He's telling me what to give and who to give it to. I said, that's how you get started. Because the first thing he'll tell you what to do, and then when he tells you who to give it to, you'll learn his heart in giving. So I think we can all learn some lessons from the master in this. And I was recently looking at the apostles when they were in the garden and Jesus was praying and, you know, in Gethsemane and battling the bloodhounds from hell, and his three, you know, star-studded students couldn't even stay awake for an hour to pray with him while he's in the throes of death. But you know what? Finally, he ended up saying, okay, just keep on sleeping. They'll be here in a minute. So just the love and the compassion that he had for his disciples is just that Holy Spirit Jesus thing in us that's just changed us. It's just changed. It's made me want to be a better person. Made me want to be more kind, more generous, more approachable, less harsh, more forgiving, and more understanding. So that's what I want to say about that.
Great word tonight, my
friend. You know, it really is, isn't it, Shannon? We've been so blessed. Oh, we've been so blessed. We've been so blessed, and I'm so thankful.
What would you like to title this for the archive tonight?
Why Are There Poor People?
Okay, that's a great title.
Yeah.
Brother Dale, I want you to tell people about your ministry. What do you got going on that they can tune into, and how can they support your work? Also, you've written a number of books. Tell us about a few of them.
Yeah, well, I actually counted the books and booklets I've written the other day, and it's over 50.
Wow, man.
And whenever I said I had the freedom to stay at home and write, I did it. I mean, I traveled and I wrote. That's what I did. And anyway, I've got a bunch of them. I've got a seriously good book on the ministry of liberality. And, you know, Jesus financed his ministry through ministers of liberality, primarily rich women. Well, you know that women's got the most money in the world, don't you? Not men.
That's right.
Everybody. So, I mean, that's true. I mean, statistically, but nonetheless, that's how Jesus's ministry was largely funded, was by ministers of liberality. And look, I believe, and I was going to say this tonight too, I don't know quite how to say this, but I just detest the law of tithing because it goes against the new creation within you to be led by the Spirit. Now, I think 10% is a good number to start with. I do. I think that the law was a good thing to bring us unto Christ, but in Christ is where we learn to be generous. And I count enough to make sure I'm giving at least 10%, but Lord, I'm so far above that now, it's not even funny. And you know, I learned something else too about giving. If I would double up, I've said my tithes, you know, or my offerings, if I double them up 1 week and paid them twice, guess what? Now when I give, I'm not paying it back. I'm paying it forward. I'm really living in faith if I pay it forward. If I pay it back, I'm living in debt. But if I pay it forward, I'm living in faith. So giving is just the greatest thing going on. And the generous spirit really is that, isn't it? Yeah, but anyway, back to the books here and the ministry. The ministry name is Liberating Ministries for Christ International, and we do that, and I think we do it pretty well. We have an array of discipleship programs that's available for people to partake in, And basically, most of them are free because it's all the free stuff I've done and written and taught. And right now, I'm in the middle of doing a Christological astronomy class. It's about a 12-week class, and we really get into it. And we designed it as a college-level class, complete with continuing education credits, and we really love it. We've got we started with 64 students in it from all around the world, and we are really doing well. So I can't get anybody in it now, but I have two YouTube channels that's got a lot of material in it. I've got one YouTube channel called Liberating Ministries, Liberating Ministries. And then another one I have on Christological Astronomy. And the Christological Astronomy has got that entire class that we're running now. And if you like to take it on your own, you certainly may. That's why we posted the YouTubes. We have on our Liberating Ministries YouTube channel, we have basically all of my classes that I've taught through the years, all of them on video, interpretation of tongues, exercise of spiritual authority, mending cracks in your soul, salvations of man, just plethora of material on the website. And we have been super blessed, Shannon, in our ministry, and we are – God has blessed us with the ability not only to have a place where people can give, but he's also blessed us with the ability to give to others as well. And we're very thankful that he's been that abundant to us. And so, but LMCI is .org is our website. You can donate on the webpage, and we really, really appreciate it. Again, not because we desire a gift, Paul said, but we desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, how does that work? Well, apparently then as you give, you get more fruit that abounds to your account. Did you know that everybody has an account? And in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says that we shall all give account of ourselves before God. The word account is the word logion, and it means an account, ledger. You'll open it up. It says so in the book of Malachi that he'll stand before you that day, and you'll see these rewards that you've got. And wow. Talk about – we don't have double indemnity. We get triple indemnity. We get the blessing of – seeing God now, we get the blessing of the millennial kingdom. Then we'll have the blessing of the inheritance and the eternal life after the millennium. So God knows how to pay us well, doesn't he?
Yes, sir. And, that's exciting.
But I have done a considerable amount of work in biblical astronomy. We have a computer program on our website called Christological Astronomy. It's a major section of our website. There's well over $500,000 that we've invested in this computer program. And it does things that nothing else in the world I've ever seen comes close to. And what we've done is we have really debunked astrology, and we discovered what it's really about. It's about Jesus Christ. And every constellation in the heavens has characteristics of him in it, and we've learned how to read those and pattern them and see them in individuals' lives. So we have some amazing, amazing material that is just scintillating and exciting a lot of people. So please look in on our website. We have a bookstore there and free articles that you could read for months. And I probably have probably 45 free articles on there, 10, 12-page articles. So like I said, I've been a prolific writer. See, Peter Wagner, one of my good friends years back, said, Dale, you're the only man that threatens me that you write more than I do. I said, Peter, you live with the curse of all writers, that you live with the curse of that you're going to die with an unprinted thought, unpublished thought. So it's been a good run. But I got – yeah, look into the bookstore. Most all of our major works are in ebooks. So if you're in a foreign country, we can get those to you. We've done them all that way, and we're working on getting everything electronically so we can transpose them and ship flash drives around the world. if we lose the internet. So,
what's the next book you're planning to write?
Well, Shannon, I'm working right now on a celestial devotional, a devotion on the celestial Word of God to introduce people to Jesus Christ, the Astro Logos.
Wow.
And
that's cool.
So it's in the formative stages, but I've got it pretty much outlined. The name of it's going to be Day and Today. It comes from Psalm 19. In utter speech and night in the night shows knowledge. So I've really gotten to where I like the devotionals. I like Spurgeon's devotionals, and they help me. And I, for a long time, was nothing but a Bible reader. I read nothing but the Bible, and then I gradually got introduced to that there are some very inspired people in this world that have read it too and inspired me. So anyhow, that's what I've been working on. I'm working on getting my Abraham book, which I finished a number of years ago. We're working on getting it in print now. And that's been the big demand that we've had. We don't want it electronically. We want it in paper. I said, all right.
Oh,
we'll
exciting.
Get it in paper. So
yes,
it's exciting. Have those things.
LMCI.org. And what's your email address?
LMChrist@lmci.org. It's LMChrist@lmci.org.
You have a YouTube channel also?
Yep, Liberating Ministries and Christological Astronomy.
Fantastic. Folks, I encourage you to get over there and hit subscribe on these and check out his website, LMCI.org. My friend, God bless you. You want to close this in prayer?
I do, Shannon. Thank you again for the privilege of being on with you tonight, sir. And Jesus, we love you. And we understand that natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. But we are absolutely crazy in love with you. And we know they don't understand that. That's okay. We'll try to help them, but we pray for them and we lift them to you that you can draw them to you, Jesus. And we thank you for how good you've been to us. You've opened the Word to us. You've opened your heart to us. You've opened your pocketbook to us, your purse strings, and more than everything else, you've opened your heart and you showed us your will. And we thank you for it. And I bless Shannon tonight. Thank you, Father, for continual programs that he's doing and bringing him inspiring teachers with great messages to feed your church around the world. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen, brother. Amen. Thank you for coming on tonight. And give an invitation to Sister Sines. Anytime she'd like to bring a word, tell her she's welcome. I haven't started making May up yet, but I should get started on it. I want you to pick a couple dates out that work for you. Text them to me and we'll see you in May.
I could do that, my friend. I love you so much, okay. Shannon. Thank
you
so
brother.
Much. Appreciate it.
God bless
Thank
you,
you,
brother. Thank you. Folks, that was Dr. Dale Sines. Okay, we're going to set up for our next program. I forgot to get Blog Talk up tonight. What am I thinking? Blog Talk. I knew there's something missing. Well, no worries. We'll have it running again tomorrow. Also, our Icecast server is down. I don't know if something happened to the software, so I've got to work on that this week. But MixLR is up and running. Good old MixLR. And, of course, all the archives are being updated. We've got everything uploaded for you that we did through Saturday last week. Tonight, also, I will get you a couple special releases from the vault. We've got four or five new programs to release for you tonight. Okay, with that, let's save this. We'll be right back. Stand by.